Okay, so Perek Sheni, Mishnah Bet. Rabban Gamliel Bono Shel Rabbi Yehuda, Hanasi Omer. Rabbi Yehuda was a Nasi, one of the leaders of the Jewish people at the time. And he had a son called Rabban Gamliel, very, very famous rabbi. And he is to say the following. Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. What do those words mean? Yafe Talmud Torah. What's Yafe? Hello. Beautiful. Right. Yafe. It's beautiful. Talmud Torah to learn Torah. However, it's beautiful to do it with something else. That enough sub is fantastic, obviously. Learning Torah, we said, is the greatest mitzvah. But it's beautiful if we do it with something else. And what is that? Derech Eretz. What's Derech Eretz? And when you're a kid, your teacher says to you, you've got to have Derech Eretz. So you say to your kids, have Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz usually means...
Proper decorum.
Oh, very nicely put, Alana. Proper decorum. That's not what it means over here, though. And it's a very good thing. I'm sure someone says it. But that's not really what it's referring to over here. What is it referring to over here? Derech Eretz? Manners. That's proper decorum. Yeah. It means work.
Means what?
Work. Derech Eretz, the way of the land. What is the way of the land? You've got to work. So you're right. Derech Eretz, usually you say to your kids, you know what I'm saying? You've got to have Derech Eretz, which is very true. And if you study Torah, you're going to have Derech Eretz. But that's not exactly what the Mishnah is saying over here. Derech Eretz over here refers to Schorah, making business.
Well, why is that?
I was waiting for that question, Chloe. And the answer is, you're asking a very, very good question. And that says, Chloe Adesami, one second, Rabbi. We know people study all the time. And the answer is, there's always been a part of the Jewish people who spent their livelihood just studying. It used to be the Levim. The Levim is always like a small section of the Jewish people who would study, right? The spiritual heads, if you will, who were involved in that. Everyone studies. Everyone takes off time to study Torah, especially full-time, if they can, if they're able to, if finances allow them to. But most people do not. Most people are not expected to spend their entire lives sitting at a Beit HaMidrash. Most people will study Torah, and they'll get involved in worldly pursuits, is how they refer to it. Okay, that is the Derech Eretz being referred to over here. So, Chloe, you're absolutely right. Some people do, even people I always quote the Rambam. Oh, the Rambam, world, he was a doctor. The Rambam spent a lot of time full-time studying Torah. He didn't become the Rambam unless he spent some time sitting down and learning Torah all the time. This is definitely a hot-button topic right now, especially in Eretz Yisrael. But the idea of Jewish people taking off time, studying Torah full-time, listen, and within those you have some who will go long, long time to really become great, great scholars, but people taking off some time to study Torah has a strong historical tradition. Okay. Having said that, that is not the way for most people. Most people will take off some time. However, says the mission over here, is that people need to get involved in other things as well. And he says, why is it good? I'm saying what the Mishnah says. Sheyegiat shneihem, because if you, what's sheyegia? If you work hard, write down these words. These are important words. Right? This is Hebrew. It's worth reading and learning. Sheyegiat shneihem, and you will be tested on it. Sheyegiat shneihem, because if you are yegia, if you work hard on both of them, right? Work hard when you study Torah, and work hard on your business. You should put effort into both of them. Mashkachat avon. What does that mean?
Forget.
What's being forgotten? Sin. Your sins are forgotten. What does it mean your sins are forgotten? What is that? What does that mean? Why would that be? Any thoughts on that? So, there are many commentaries on this. The ones I recently looked up point out that people need to be busy. People need to do stuff. We humans, by definition, you'll find that people end up doing not so good things are the ones who have too much time on their hands and waste their time. Okay? So one interpretation is that we have to involve ourselves in physical pursuits and spiritual pursuits. Now, what's important over here is that making business and making a living is a mitzvah. I want to be very clear about this. We do not look down, heaven forbid, upon people who spend their time going to work, making a living, making money. How they make the money, we talk about. That has to be, obviously, within, you know, halachic guidelines and respect and doing things legally. But the act of working itself, it seems a good thing. If you look back at the leading scholars in Jewish history, for even the Talmudic times, they were people who had things they would do to keep them occupied when they were not studying Torah in order to make a living. And making a living isn't just like, oh, you know what? I studied Torah, so I was going to make a living. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, it's like a bidyevet kind of thing. Well, what can you do? No, making a living is seen as a holy pursuit. How could that be? What's kind of business? Making money, right? Buying a product for $5, setting it for $10, right? We're from Great Neck, $500, whatever it is, whatever the markup happens to be. Actually, by the way, there's even halachas there, by the way. There's halachic rules in how much you mark up your goods for, interestingly enough. That's a lot of, it's not so simple just to, you know. Having said that, just the act itself becomes a mitzvah. Why would that be a mitzvah? Because you've got to live. Someone's got to pay tuition for yeshiva. Someone's got to buy the kosher food for Shabbos. Kosher meat costs more. Which, by the way, thankfully, is a good thing. Because you're guaranteed there's no horse meat in it. You know this whole thing, you've seen this? There's been this big rush to buy kosher meat by the non-Jewish world. Because they're finding out traces in a lot of non-kosher meat in Europe. I don't know if it's reached these shores yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if it already exists over here. They're finding traces in DNA of horse meat in a lot of meats. So we pay more for kosher meat. So being Jewish, it costs more. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to pretend, oh, it's so easy, it doesn't cost anything. And I said, well, it costs. There's tuitions, there's bills, there's yeshivas, there's synagogues, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and everyone's got to pay their fair share. If I have in mind that I'm going to work, and the money I make from this work will go towards, you know, buying a car, which I use for good purposes, and for buying clothing, and like, then that becomes, and for my family, take care of my family, and that's a mitzvah. I'm saying it's not like what are you going to do? That itself becomes a spiritual pursuit. Therefore, work itself is a spiritual pursuit. That doesn't mean we should avoid learning Torah, which, of course, is the greatest mitzvah. Okay? So we do both of them. Meshkach HaNavon, our sins could well be forgotten. V'chol, and basically, is you're so busy doing the... Once you get these two, you know... I always wonder about, like, college students. I always felt so busy at college. I have so much to do, no time. People say to me, what are you talking about? Like, wait, I'm so busy. I got this course and that course. I'm busy. I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, I had so much free time. Right, wait, please, God, till you get married, and you got your kids, and you got a job, and you got your bills, and you got your friends, and the community, and your parents, and your kids. Then you have no free time. Then going to the bathroom is a premium. Right? At that point, then, once you don't have time to go to the bathroom, then you have no time. If you've got time to go to the bathroom, you got plenty of time on your hands. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got plenty of time. You think I'm joking, don't you? Oh, good. Okay, so... He said, that's going to... So keep being busy is a good thing. Right? You'll find people have more time on their hands, right? And less to be busy about. They're the ones who end up... And we can all relate to this. And getting involved in things which probably we shouldn't be getting involved in, to be honest with you. V'chol Torah. He goes even further. She'inim ha-melacha. And any Torah that hasn't got some physical activity involved in it, some creative activity, some melacha. Sofa betela. The Torah you learn, actually, he says, will eventually be batel, be nullified. V'goreret avon. That's a good word. V'goreret. What's a goreret?
Drag.
Very good. What's a grar? A tow truck. I think modern Hebrew, right? A tow truck. So gorer is to drag along. We say, we're going to see later on. Mitzvah gorer mitzvah. V'avera goveret. Goreret avera. Right? You do a mitzvah, and that's going to drag you to do others. But you do an avera, and that's going to drag you to other averot. Averas. So he says that eventually, if you don't get involved in some form of malacha, some form of physical activity, in other words, on a broader scale, on a broader view, we Jews don't believe not getting involved in physical activities. Right? We don't sit, spiritual people don't sit on mountains, wrapped up in sheets, meditating by themselves. Right? That is not the Jewish view. Right? We're not monks, we're not nuns, we're not gurus, we don't live in ashrams, we live in homes, we're busy, we got kids, we're running around. Right? That may actually satisfy this mission, by the way. Right? We're involved so much in physical activities, you see. So this is our activity itself has to be tied into Torah. Right? As I always mentioned, that's why besides six of the mitzvot, all mitzvot involved physical action. Okay. Then it says something else. So it focuses, first of all, on oneself, making money and learning Torah. And then it says, but as well as that, we have obligations elsewhere. And whoever is involved, this is a very, very important mission. They're all important missions. This is a very famous one. V'chola oiskim ha'metzibor, whoever is osek. What does osek mean? Busy. Busy. Getting involved, making business. With what? Im ha'tzibor. What is a tzibor? Good word. Write it down. The community. The community. Whoever's involved with the community. Now, that can mean a number of things. That can be a number of things. Community could be your local synagogue. You're on the sisterhood of your synagogue. Or if you're a man, you're on the board of the synagogue. Or you are involved in cleaning up the synagogue. Or you're involved in making the mishloach manot for the synagogue. Right? Most will do something. Or you're involved in raising money for the synagogue. Or you're involved in raising money for the rabbi for the synagogue, or you come in there and you put the chairs nicely for the synagogue, or it could be you're involved in the other part of the tzibor, outside of a synagogue, you're involved in charitable organizations around your community. You start a gemach. What's a gemach? Anyone know what gemach is? It's an acronym for Gemilat Chasadim. You start an organization that does good for your community. Free loan societies for your community. These are tremendous mitzvot. There's many of them in your community. You don't even know I'm aware of them. Right? My wife, we did a bat mitzvah. We have to borrow tables and tablecloths. So it's not a bat tablecloths for a bat mitzvah. It's like very fancy. You know what I'm saying? It was for a bat mitzvah. So there's a lady who has a stack of tablecloths in her home. And that's her gemach. And you go there, and you borrow them for free, and then you wash them, and you return them. That's her being osek im hatzibur. I know someone has a table gemach. We have to go there a bunch of times. Right? She has a garage full of tables. You want to borrow some tables, you've got to go. I know someone who has a pacifier gemach. Or a bunch of stuff for kids. Well, they're new pacifiers. I wouldn't worry about it. And once you've used it, you get to keep it. You see? Right? Or you go and replace it with another one if you want. Right? But you go there, right? It's Shabbos. You're somewhere. Oh, I've got my pacifier. No pacifier on Shabbat. Oh, my goodness. That could ruin your entire Shabbat. And you go, they get a pacifier. Right? There's free loan gemachs. There are gemachs for everything you can think about. Open the back page of your local Jewish magazine, paper things, you know? You know those papers with like, the spelling mistakes? Go to the back, you'll see gemachs for everything. These are people who are fulfilling this Mishnah, and they are being Osek Im Hatzibor. They are doing a tremendous mitzvah of taking care of their local community, their tzibor. Okay? It could be they're involved in helping the poor people. It could be helping the people who have cancer in their tzibor. It could be the people who have to go to the hospital and someone's going to watch their kids. There are hundreds of ways everyone should do something. And by the way, this is not just married people. Married people, as we discussed, already have less time. I believe that every single person should do 1 hour of voluntary work a week. I actually believe that it's very good when you're dating someone to ask, okay, so what do you do with your spare... Well, sometimes with their spare time is a big thing. You know, we live in a society where we kill time. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote about this and spoke about it, one of the great leaders of the last generation, and he actually said that... Well, not even last generation, 1980s, he passed away. But he actually pointed out that people who kill time, he would get very angry and say, That's takaritzicha. That's murder. Right? Kill time. You're killing time, you're actually killing. He says, that's really a bad thing. We don't believe in killing time. We are constantly busy. Now we have to take time for ourselves, we have to hang out, we have to relax. But just to kill time because I'm killing time. 1 hour a week should be given completely voluntarily, not for any financial remuneration whatsoever. Should be spent doing voluntary work on behalf of the community. You can help your grandmother. You could help someone by babysitting them, watch their kids. There is always something to be done for somebody else. Here you could be helping someone study for an exam. But 1 hour a week, you don't go through 1 hour a week without some kind of oseg b'tzibor, voluntary work for your community. I think it's very, very important. And if you have more time, go do a hospital something. But something has to be done. And I actually say, not only is it a means in and of itself to help somebody else, and a tremendous mitzvah, as we're seeing, it's also very, very important because it's good preparation for marriage. Because marriage is 24/7 voluntary work. No one's going to pay you to make food for your kids or your husband. No one's going to pay you to take out the garbage. No one's going to help you to pay for that. But I say it's the guys as well, by the way. 1 hour voluntary work a week. There is absolutely no reason why not. If 1 hour is too much, start with half hour. Build up. Help someone with their homework. Absolutely givingly, voluntarily. With cheshek. With a desire to do it. Yeah? So he says, v'chola oskim et tzibor. What is some of the parameters of this? And he says, if you are osek b'sor asib, which everyone should be, you oskim imahem l'shem shemayim. You should do it l'shem shemayim. What do they mean? L'shem shemayim.
Shame. Let's write this one down. Shemayim. What is shem shemayim?
What does it literally mean? The name of heaven. The name of heaven. What does it? What does it mean in terms of? If you do something l'shem shemayim, how are you doing it? If you do something l'shem shemayim, you're doing it for the sake of heaven. You're doing it for the right reasons. Correct motivation. You should have the correct motivation when you do it. It's not enough, says Rabbi Gamliel, just to help the community. You should do it l'shem shemayim. How could you do it not l'shem shemayim?
Doing it because it's
fun. Doing it because it's a mitzvah, l'shem shemayim.
Like doing it
to shame, doing it in order to do it to get. Okay, that. Oh, that's very, very good. That may be a good motivation. I know we think of that as like sounds a little bit like doing because it's a mitzvah. Why am I doing it? But that is a good motivation. I mean, assuming your reason want to do a mitzvah is the right motivation. I want to do a mitzvah because I want to improve myself. People need help. Hashem told me to do it. That's a great motivation. What would not be l'shem shemayim? And by the way, this idea of shem shemayim and l'shem shemayim is mentioned a number of times in terms of mitzvah observance, in terms of communication with others, arguments, fighting. We're going to see later on Pirkei Avot. It talks about fights, the l'shem shemayim and l'shem shemayim. So how could it be that being involved in the community is not l'shem shemayim? Doing it for kavod, doing it for prestige, doing it for praise, right? Doing it for money, right? Doing it for money as well. In other words, right now I'm doing it voluntarily, but you know what? I'm going to help this community and they're going to have to pay me back by using my insurance agency, right? Which if they decide to do, that's fine, by the way. But what is my motivation? My motivation should be pure. Doing it for the mitzvah lana is a pure motivation. That is considered to be a pure motivation. Now, having said that, it shouldn't just be I'm doing it and like I'm a mitzvah robot and I do my bare minimum, and I'm yoked to the mitzvah. That's not what we're saying. You know, we mentioned this already in terms of dealing with people, our motivation should be to help them, okay, which is a mitzvah. That means Hashem wants me to do it, and there's a great connection that's being built up. But doing it for ulterior motives that are not l'shem shemayim is frowned upon, especially when it comes to dealing with the tzibor, which is why Rav Gamliel mentions it. And he says, and what's the merit of this? Shezchot avotam mesayatam. The merit of their ancestors will help. Which ancestors are we referring to? So over here, different opinions. Some say actually it is the schut of the generations that created this sibor, this community. many communities didn't just pop up out of nowhere. They took time to develop, many generations. So you're actually building up schot, you're building up merit, which comes with a lot of years, decades, sometimes centuries, before. In other words, you help out your synagogue, right? Now, so you do something small. You're like, well, what did I do? I didn't build the synagogue. There's thousands of people involved in this community before me in building up this area, right? This area of Great Neck or Deal or this particular synagogue or this community. What's that got to do with me? It's like, well, it's not so simple, actually. It happens to be that you get reward for everything you do, right? And you're actually continuing on. You get the merit that they built up as well. Right, the analogy we've used before, which I like very, very much, is the kotel. The kotel is very, very, very big stones at the bottom. You notice, have you been down to the kotel tunnels? Go down there. Best place, best view in Eretz Yisrael, if not the world, if you ask me. Have these massive stones. And then the ones above it are a little bit smaller. I mean, they're still like, you know, 20 tons. And then you get up higher, they're like 5 tons. And you go a little higher, they're like 1 ton. And then you go to the top, there's like little pebbles on top. You look at the little ones and you're like, oh my God, they're just sitting on top. Well, they're sitting on top because they're built up on a lot of big stones at the bottom. We're like the little stones on top. Generations came before us, very, very great people, who did amazing things. They built synagogues, they built communities, they built yeshivas, they got involved in terms of the tzibor in such a big and important and massive way. And we're like, well, what am I going to do? I'll dedicate a room. I'll help move the chairs. I'll make sure there's no dirt on the floor. I'll pay for the cleaning help. It's like so trivial. And the answer is no. First, you're being osei b'sarach ha'sibor, which is a tremendous mitzvah. Okay. But as well as that, you do something even greater. That is, you're building on what they started. You're like the little stones on the top of the other ones. And you get to be on top. It's not a small thing, no matter how big and established community is. Everyone's involvement is really, really important. And it says, Vatem and you, the giver, Ma'ale ani aleichem schar harbe ki'ilu asitem. I will give you, quoting Hashem, if you will, the schar, the reward, the merit, harbe. That's a big thing to say, by the way. You get a lot of merit helping out your community. Ki'ilu asitem, as though you did the whole thing. There is retroactive reward. I mean, that's the basic reading of the Mishnah. For things that you didn't even do. You may not have been born for. So these places, these causes, these cancer societies, whatever you want to say, these, I don't know, OLs, these homes, whatever you want to look at, there's thousands of ways that people get involved. And whether that means writing a check, or getting involved physically, or being there, or as I mentioned already, doing an hour of voluntary work once a week for somebody else, l'shem shemayim, for no ulterior motive whatsoever, no payment. I mean, you get enjoyment out of it. Hopefully you get some satisfaction. Not always, by the way. I volunteered in old age homes a number of times. They are not particularly pleasant places to be in. I know on TV, right, whatever it is, they're always like so happy running around, old people playing instruments. Mostly, they're very, very upset, bitter. Many of them have dementia. And they're complaining that their family never visit them. That's what they are for the most part. That is what they are for the most part. It doesn't say you have to find it enjoyable. Listen, if you can't handle seeing sick children, I have that thing, but I cannot be upset, then find something else. But everyone's got to do something, the sarach etzibor, and the reward for doing this is very, very great. Okay? Very, very great. But try to keep your motives pure. Because obviously over here, it's possible for your motives to become tainted. To become tainted. Thoughts, comments? So there's some good words there. Derech Eretz, a good expression. Meshkachat, that's a good word to note. mashkachat, from lishkoch, to forget. Shachachti, I forgot. Goreret, you're going to hear that expression a lot in Judaism. Tzibur. L'shem Shemayim is a very important expression. S'chus or S'chut. You can hear that a lot. Merit. S'char. We're going to hear that word a lot as well. S'char, the reward, the spiritual reward for doing something. What is the S'char? All right? We have some time. Let's do the next Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel. But there's so many commentaries on Pirkei Avot. There are so many commentaries that we go through, you learn through. Like every day you're getting new ones coming out, even in English. Right? Every rabbi or doctor is coming out with a different... but it's good stuff. Gimel. Hevu Zehirin Barashut. What's Zahir? What's Zahir? Mazhir? Zahira. Be careful. Rashut. What's Rashut? Yeah, you're thought with permission. So the way the commentators understand this word, it refers to political leaders. Political leaders.
For which word?
Rashut. Rashut means permission usually, but over here it refers to the people who lead, usually politically. And by the way, it doesn't have to mean only Jewish leaders, by the way. It can refer to non-Jewish leaders as well. People who politically lead. It says, be very careful when you deal with them. I usually say politician. That's the best way to understand it, because we can relate to that in our generation. What should we be careful about, says the Mishnah? She'ein mekarvin lo la'adam. What do those words mean? She'ein mekarvin lo la'adam. What's karev? What's kirev? Coming close, yes. She'ein mekarvin lo, they don't bring people close. They don't come close to people. Ella, rather, l'tzorech atzman. What's tzorech atzman? For their own needs. Does this sound familiar? Politicians don't get close to people unless they need them. Amazing. It was written 2,000 years ago, and it could be written about today, couldn't it? There's this thing about politicians and people of leadership in general, right, that you should be careful when dealing with them, because they'll get close to you when they need you. Well, what do politicians need? They need your vote. Right. They need your vote. They need your support.
They kiss your baby.
That's why they kiss your baby. That's right. Most of them don't like babies. Most of them don't like babies. And I wouldn't let a politician touch my baby. Or some point out recently, politics. Poly means many, ticks are little bugs that suck the blood out of people. Okay. Shein mekarvin lo la'adam ela tzorech hazman. They seem to only think about themselves, these leaders. But I get it doesn't only mean political leaders. I mean, it could be any form of leader we're talking about. Nirin, it's going to appear. Nirin, it's going to appear. Ko'avin b'shata na'atan. It's going to appear as though they love you when they need you. But be careful. Vein oimdin lo, but they won't stand for you. La'adam, for a person. Bishad dochako. But when it comes to push, comes to shove, these leaders that are out there, when you need them, they won't be there for you. So where they need you, they're so nice and they're so lovely and they're shaking hands and they're hugging and they're being good and they're doing all this stuff for you. Don't think that's genuine love. And they're all the same. They are all the same. And when you need them, suddenly, hello, hello, cricket, 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 they're not there for you. Ain omdim, they're not going to stand up for you. Literally, it's the word. For ain omdim, it even works in English. They won't stand up for you. B'shad dochaka, when things come dochet, when things are tough, and push comes to shove, suddenly they're not there for you. So be careful of these leaders. I was talking about leaders, political leaders, or other leaders that are there.
The government always has politicians. Shouldn't this be for any person? Like, shouldn't you be careful of any person?
I was like, it kind of refers to people who have some kind of like a power base.
Yeah.
Some kind of power base. Right? But it's a kind where they need you. You work for someone, you need them because you're taking their money. This is like a power base where they need you. They come to you for something. Be careful of such individuals. Yeah? Okay, we're flying over here. Let's do Mishnah Dalet. Why not? These are good words. Please remember these words. Okay? Makarvin. Okay, Hua Yaomer. Okay, this is a tricky one. Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha. Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha. This is tricky. This is like a bit of a tongue twister and mind twister. Make, what's Ritzono? What's Ratzon, first of all? Let's get that word. Will, right. Will. Who's Ritzono? His will. Who's his will? Hashem. Make Hashem's will, I what Hashem wants for you. Make his will kirtzonecha, like your will. Make Hashem's desire into your desire. Kedei, follow inside, this is tricky. Kedei, and there's, by the way, I didn't give you copies with translations because I wanted you to work through the Hebrew, but you should definitely look up translations of these. Kedei in order, Shiase Rutsoncha Kirtzono. So that, what do that mean? Kedei Shiase Rutsoncha Kirtzono. So that he makes your will into his will. You love that, good. So that Hashem will then take your will and make it into his will. Okay, let's just stop there. There's a period, so let's just stop over there and try to figure that out. Because it's like a two-way relationship over here, right? Make Hashem's will into your will. Okay? Make Hashem's will into your will. Hashem is saying, I have a certain will, I have a plan, I got things that I want you to do.
How do you
know what they are? So we look at the Torah. The Torah is the mechanism by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his will to us. Okay? The written Torah and the oral Torah. Yeah, these are the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? As someone's point out, when we pray, we speak to Hashem. When we learn Torah, Hashem is speaking to us. It's a two-way communication. All relationships have to have two-way communication. Okay? So Hashem has a will for us. He wants us to do certain things. He wants us to do chesed. He wants us to do goodness. He wants to do David. He wants us to give tzedakah. He wants all the stuff you can think of, which we've discussed, Hashem wants us to do. So he's saying, make Hashem's will your will. Make it your will. Don't just do it because I want to do it. Make it your will. You want to do it. So the next part is either the reward for that or it's the general outcome. By doing that, suddenly what you want, your desires, which, by the way, are already predicated on the first part, which are Hashem's desires. You get that? Because you've made Hashem's will into your will. So now Hashem is saying, fine, but if you do that, I'll make your will into my will. So the stuff that you want, I'll make into my will. And if Hashem wants something to happen, it's going to happen. Right? And we're going to take that as a given. But you have certain things that you want. Hashem's fine. You want certain things. You want to make some money. You want to find the right people. You want to get married. Whatever it is. That's your will. We all have our own personal desires. That's understandable. Hashem's like, no problem. I'm going to make that into my will, which is good. I'm going to make that into my... He's like, but how do you get that? You've got to make my will into your will. It starts that way. Right? It doesn't go the other way around. People do this. They flip this. You can't flip this. Hashem's will becomes our will. And Hashem says, you do that. And you can look at it two ways. Either I'll reward you making my will, your will into my will. It's a reward-based program.
It's really your reason.
Or it's the natural consequence of it. You're right. It shouldn't be your reason. That's already mentioned in the Mishnah previous to this.
People do that. People are, I'll do this so that
right.
I will get this.
Right. That's not seen as the best way. That may not be the best way. By the way, it's not terrible. You're still doing it. Right? When I ask my kids to do things and they're doing it full well knowing they're going to get a reward for doing it, it's not a bad thing. I'd like to give you a... I hope you don't mind this example, but this is part of life. I am toilet training my son right now. He's going from diaper to toilet. This is going to be a very difficult and messy procedure because diapers are comfortable. You just like make whenever you want, you see? And suddenly you've got to feel when you need to go and you've got to rush him to the toilet. You don't always make it there. But Baruch Hashem is part of a development. So one thing we do is we motivate our kid, our son, by offering him candies. We have little mini marshmallow things. Some people use M&Ms, some people use little candies. And we say, if you make it in the toilet, you get one of these. That's pretty good. Is he shallow? We're like, he should be motivated by candy. That's the reason he should want to make in the bathroom, because that's where adults make. And he's going to be a big boy. The answer is true. He should have that desire. But people need to have a certain reinforcement for doing things. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. So give him a little treat. Eventually, I mean, if he's still giving him treats at the age of like 15, that's not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? If he's like, you know, married, is like, I just went to the bathroom, can I have like a car? You know, then you're ready. Then we're taking it too far. However, the initial thing, and eventually you stop the candy, like normal candy, but he's used to it. So there is an idea of some kind of, as you put it, positive reinforcement, or some kind of like a reward-based program. It comes with things. So it's not a terrible thing for adults either when it comes to mitzvah observance. It's not a bad thing. I'm not sure that this is only what it's talking about. And we definitely, the Mishnah already says that a person should not serve the master, right, in order to receive a pras. Right? Don't be ka'avodim, hamasham sarav, to serve the master only for a prize. We already had that. That should not be your motivation. I only want to have, because a person should aggro, but as an initial thing just to get him going. But that's not necessarily what the Mishnah is saying. This could just be a consequence. Hashem is like, how do I want to make my will into you? I want you to have stuff. I want it to be successful. I want it to happen. Now we're learning the mechanism by which that actually occurs. Yeah.
How do you make Hashem's will your will?
So how do you make anyone else's will into your will? I'll ask you that. You're asking how to make Hashem's will. How do you make anyone else's? How do you make your, I don't know, your husband's will into your will? How do you make your teacher's will? I would say, so Ritzon is desire for something. When I say will, I don't mean like the piece of paper. No. Right? It's a desire. I have a will for you. I'm your teacher now, right? I have a Ritzon. And that is that you learn these Mishnah, you learn the words, you study them, and you understand them, and you appreciate them. You look them up afterwards, and you study them. I have a will. Your will is going to A in this class. Well, we all have our own desires. Yeah, everyone, that's okay. Your desire to be in this class and get an A, I totally understand and respect that. Or to do well. Okay? That's totally okay. But our wills are slightly different. That's okay. But I'm saying, but I need you. I'm trying to get you to make... I'm trying to get my will to your will. The result will be that you'll do better in this class. Oh, this is a good analogy. I like this. I just thought of it. Does that work? That would be the result. So if you can get into my head and hear my words, what I'm telling you... that this is the right thing to do, Torah study is a good thing, learn these ideas is good, learn the Hebrew is going to help you as well. And you can persuade me of that, and then you can put that down in print into an examination as well. Then ultimately, right, my will has become your will, which is what I want. And eventually, your will, which you do well, will end up happening.
Like Hashem's will is like
Hashem's desire for us, yeah.
How do you know His
will is for us? So, we are told Hashem's will for us as a Jewish people.
Yeah, like for His creation.
There are 613 directives that are given to us and extrapolations of them from the Talmud that tell us exactly what Hashem wants from us. So there's what Hashem wants from us as a nation, Corey, as a people. There's also desires as a community, as individuals and families. Now, when it comes to certain personal, what is Hashem's personal will for me as an individual, that's difficult. That already you have to know yourself, you have to study yourself, you have to have a local, an LOR to guide you, spiritual advisor to show, well, that's not what you should be doing with your life. So it does become very, very personal. That person and their decision for you becomes, I mean, excuse the expression, but like God. I'm careful with that expression. I think that you worship these people, but we have spiritual advisors, we go to other people. Right? And we used to have prophets that would do this for us. There used to be a lot of prophets, the Gemara says. We'd actually go to them and they would help us and direct us, and the ones we have nowadays are just the ones we need for the end of days. Let's finish off the Mishnah. Batel Rutzoncha. Batel, what's Batel mean? You've got to know this word. God bless you. Nullify. Nullify your will. Now is like the opposite. First we're talking about making Hashem's will into your will, in order that your desires in life, all the stuff that you want. We have a long shopping list into Hashem's. We're going to hand over to Hashem, right? Hashem's like, well, you can't give me a shopping list. We got there's a two-way relationship over here. You guys like, come over here. I want money, a nice husband, a nice house, right? I want to have bracha, I want slacha, I want healthy children, I want this, I want that. But whoa, 1 second. This ain't Santa Claus, right? You're not coming here with your Christmas list. There's a certain relationship that is expected in Judaism, that has to come, okay? Now it's saying, you have certain wills. If you can nullify your will before me, you have certain desires. If you can nullify them, if that happens, now we're going to the opposite, nullifying certain things. Do that. Kedei shi'avatal rotzon acherim b'fnei atzrotzoncha. Then I will get involved, says Hashem, as it were, and I will be mevatel, I will nullify other people's desires in tune with yours. Now it gets interesting. So first of all, between us and Hashem, now we're saying, but I need things from other people as well. Hashem is like, if you can nullify your will, says the author of the Mishnah, if you're able to nullify your will for Hashem's will, right, be mevatel myself, my kavod, my money, my time, my power, if I'm able to mevatel myself for a higher cause, if I can nullify my desires for a higher cause, what's that going to produce, says the Mishnah? That Hashem will make sure that other people nullify their personal desires to help you. Okay, let that sink in. We'll discuss this again. Those were three very, very good Mishnayot to leave you with. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Midterm on Wednesday.
Are we going to be reviewing?
We'll do some review tomorrow if you need it, yes. Have a good day.